turning to the Gospels this afternoon in preparation for the Lord's table, focusing in on one thing. So I will read the four accounts of this one aspect of Christ's death account. We'll start in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Mark chapter 15. Verses 25 and 26. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." Luke chapter 23. Verse 38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." In John chapter 19, a particular text for this afternoon, and we will commence in John 19 at verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." I want us to consider for these brief moments in preparation for the Lord's table the alleged crime of Christ. I read to us the four accounts. All four Gospels record this very memorable situation, a very memorable record. Neither wanted to miss this insertion in their record of Christ in their gospel and biography of the Lord Jesus. There's no contradiction as we put these together. Matthew, Mark, and Luke only record that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Well, in Matthew, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And Mark and Luke record the King of the Jews. John adds that on that placard, on that little piece of wood, perhaps it was wood, I would assume it was, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. So John gives us the full title that was above Jesus' head. Both Luke and John tell us that it was in three languages. One thing we'll never know is, it won't really matter. It was no doubt, my assumption is it was parallel on the piece of wood, or it was parallel vertically, whether vertically or horizontally. Luke says it was in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. John says it was in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. But we'll never know what was first. My assumption is that John gives the accurate record there, but because it was the Jews that wanted Christ to be crucified, and perhaps this was Pilate's way of digging at them and salving his own conscience. Why did Pilate have this written above the head of Christ? Some might say, well, every criminal had his accusation written above his head, because there were a lot of people that would pass these crucifixes, these crucifixions, these crucified victims, and wonder why they were being crucified. And so it was only proper for the public to have the accusation written over the head. So perhaps Pilate's having written what he did was not, the uniqueness was not the accusation written over his head, but what was written there hardly would have been considered a crime by anyone walking past. We could understand over the heads of the other two criminals murder or assault with an intent to kill, or this was a thief or adulterer or what have you. But isn't it amazing that all he could write was Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. So was this a guilt of admission on his part? Was this somewhat of a dig on Christ as a friendship to Herod, that he would say that his accusation was that he was a king that was better than Herod? Or do we just simply say this was providential? For God would say, had said in Psalm 2, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, speaking of his resurrection, but prophesying that he was the king. So Christ's crime was an alleged crime. John, I believe, thought so, that he doesn't even call it an accusation. John calls it his title. Isn't that significant? Notice in John's gospel it says that Pilate wrote a title, and this title then was read by many of the Jews. John would not even call it his accusation or his crime, is what the word means. This word is used several times in the New Testament, and even the Apostle Paul uses it, who thought that it was a crime of Christ, that Christ was a criminal until he was converted. And Paul said in Acts 13:28, that he had no cause of death. The word cause is the same word. It's the word for crime. You remember that the apostle, as he was preaching in Gentile territory, well, at a synagogue, he would say that Pilate was ready to release him. And though they found no cause or crime of death, that crime that led to death, that is a capital punishment, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And so, who was the real criminal? Paul was saying it was not the Lord Jesus, it was the Jews. And so, it was no crime at all. It was a title. For Zechariah chapter 9 says, "Thy King cometh unto thee." The Jews were expecting the Messiah to be their king. And God again would say, "I have set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." And of course, the Lord Jesus was Melchizedek, the King of righteousness, as well as the King of peace. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Herod and Pilate know him now to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. A king rules, a king protects, and a king judges. Jesus Christ was the king. Christ rules the heaven and the earth. Christ saves and protects his people. And Christ is the one who judges criminals. Who was the real accusing lawyer at that trial of Jesus? It was Pilate that was put on trial. Who was the real criminal? When Jesus said, "He that delivered me to thee hath the greater sin," what was he saying to Pilate? "Pilate, you have sinned. But your sin is not as great as the sins of the high priests. But you have sinned. You are sinning to hold the King of glory on trial." What will you do with Jesus? They were asking Pilate. But Jesus was saying, "Pilate, what will I do with you?" There was no crime at all. It was a crime so called. And if this is a crime, this is a crime to disseminate, to diffuse. And isn't it providential and purposeful that Jesus was not crucified inside the gates where Gentiles would not have been allowed to view his righteous suffering, the way that he suffered and all that he said? It was an insult. It was a rebuke to the Jews that their king would not be crucified within the gates. But it was the gospel to the Gentiles that Jesus was crucified outside the gates. It says that this placard, everybody awake today? We only have a few minutes together. This situation took place near the city, but outside the gates. And the Lord says that he went outside the camp bearing reproach. It would have been reproachful to bear the Jews' scorn, but as far as they were concerned, they were going to get this unclean person outside the gates, and they would know that the scorn would be added among the Gentile population. Little did they know that they were instrumental in diffusing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It was a crime to spread. To them, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. They meant to spread his crime so that no one would believe on him. They were so hateful of Christ, they didn't even want the Gentiles to believe on him. And yet God used the Jews to spread the gospel by having Christ crucified outside the city gates. And he used wicked Pilate. It wasn't just written in Hebrew, knowing that the Jews, because they hated him, wanted him crucified. Pilate had it written in Greek and in Latin. And we can look at it this way, that John meant the message to go to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And he put Hebrew first. Luke, you remember, portrayed Christ as the perfect man. Luke's genealogy, unlike Matthew, goes all the way back to Adam. And Luke's message particularly is spread to every man, not just to the Jew. And so he records that the message was in Greek and Hebrew and Latin. And so we find that Christ's message is to all the world, that the New Testament was inspired in Greek and not in Hebrew. You see how God wanted the message to go throughout the world by just recording the New Testament in the Greek language? Hebrew to the Jew first, but Greek also to the Gentile. Why in Latin? Probably because Latin was the language of the courts and Christ was condemned as a criminal and it needed to be recorded in their books. But I think there was more than that. That the Lord wanted people who knew Latin were not only those that were in law, but those that were very educated. It was in their schools. And doesn't the Lord want the mighty to receive the gospel as well? Not many mighty, but it doesn't say not any mighty. And so the gospel reaches in to the streets, into the synagogues, and into the courts. The gospel is to be spread everywhere by you and me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Pilate knowingly and unknowingly spread the gospel. God used a wicked man to be one of his evangelists. Why Jesus the Nazarene? Why not just Jesus the King of the Jews? Why did Pilate write Jesus the Nazarene? It's not easy to really come up with a conclusive answer. Was this Pilate's way of scorn? For Jesus the Nazarene means that he was a very lowly one. That he was not recognizable as a king. For he would say, "Art thou a king?" And I believe that he said it sarcastically. Was this his thought that he was from Nazareth and that somehow he associated, though there wasn't an exact association between Nazareth and Nazarene? Matthew does not record that Jesus was a Nazarene because he was from Nazareth, but Matthew says that it's because they were sounding alike that he had a play on words. He was saying he grew up in Nazareth, but it was a fulfillment in a sense that he would come from a lowly background. Nazar was a stump that could grow or may not grow. So Jesus came from a lowly background. The Jews were in a lowly state when he came. There was no crime at all. If you call it a crime for him to be a lowly man born through a virgin, born to peasant parents, born to die, to become the King of the Jews, that it was a crime to diffuse, a crime to spread. And God showed his sovereignty, didn't he, in causing a wicked man to spread this fame of Jesus Christ. But it was a crime to defend on one hand and to fear on the other. John is the only one that records the reaction of the chief priests. Pilate said, "This, or Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." And you remember what the chief priests said. They said, don't say that he is the king of the Jews, but you need to add, he said that he's the king of the Jews. Was it jealousy? Was it scorn? Or was it fear? I wonder as they read that if they were convicted. I wonder if they were afraid that it would be a gospel message that people would begin to believe. That he's making a statement rather than giving an accusation. Could it be that they crucified their anticipated king? Would that begin to work on their conscience? You remember, it was Peter that said, "You have killed the Prince of Life." And it's not, what will you do with Jesus, but what will he do with you? He said that he was king. Art thou a king? Thou sayest. Sayest thou of thyself, or did another tell thee? Do you believe it? Or do others believe it? And the message is still to you and me. When we sit at his table, do you believe you're sitting at the table of the king? Do you believe you're sitting at a king's table? Are you embarrassed to sit at the Lord's table? Are you sitting at the Lord's table? Or are you sitting at a criminal's table? And Pilate would say in defense, what I have written stands written, is what he's saying. I will not change it. Was this another way of Pilate washing his hands of the evil deed? That he's not guilty in part for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You know, there are some that would defend his kingship, but have not submitted to him as king. There are some that would say that Jesus is the king of the Jews, but they cannot say he's my king and my God. It was a crime to defend for us, and it's a crime to fear for them. And it will be a crime to prove one day. Christ himself shall say that he is the king. What I have written, I have written. This is a prophecy in a sense, isn't it, brethren? It stands written. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's the language to a king. Of a king. When thou dost rise to power, thy people will become willing. And it's the proof of the kingship of Jesus Christ that you and I have submitted to his salvation, that we have been saved. He shall save his people from their sins. My king has conquered me. My king has saved me. He will prove his righteous rule in the salvation of sinners and the vindication of the saints. The day is coming, he will prove that kings also destroy their enemies. In that same psalm that says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, it reads, the Lord at thy right hand, that is David's Lord, Christ, Jesus, shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Parallel with verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, but in the day of thy wrath, those who are not thy people shall be destroyed. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with their dead bodies. What a day that will be. I am king. I am the Son of God. And henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The Lord's table is a table where we all confess that Christ is the King, not only of the Jews, but he's the King of Christians, and he's the King of all. He is Lord. I want us to sit at the table of the King this afternoon to remember that. And we're remembering the death of the King. That was a death by atonement, for atonement. And Jesus Christ, the King, rose from the dead. And this Lord's Supper is anticipation of the coming of the King in power and great glory.